So good morning. I'd like to present today a portion of my PhD research here. There we go. Okay, so for those of you not familiar with Washington State, we have a pretty wide variety of climate areas within the state. And I put this map up here to kind of just give you an idea of annual precipitation. And we get anywhere from more than 180 inches a year on the Olympic Peninsula to less than 10 inches on the eastern side of the Cascades. And I just want you to keep in your mind that red area and that orange area that are the 10 to 15 and less than 10 inches, because those are the areas that we primarily grow grapes in. And so this map here on the right-hand side highlights the different American viticultural areas where grapes are commonly grown in Washington State. And I just want to highlight a little bit of background about Washington State grape industry. We're the number two producer of wine grapes in the United States, with about 17,700 hectares planted, and the number one producer of juice grapes in the United States with 10,500 hectares. And the little blue star that popped up there, that is the location of the Prosser Irrigated Agricultural Research and Extension Center where I'm located, and our field plots are just a little bit up the Yakima Valley from that location. So this project is only one component of a larger project that's funded by an SCRI grant that is intended to develop irrigation strategies for the entire grape production industry, including juice grapes, table grapes, raisins, and wine grapes. We have two different research locations, one here in several sites in California, and then one site in Washington. In Washington, we're focused on wine and juice grapes. Well, in California, we cover wine, table, and raisin grapes. So for today's presentation, I'm just going to focus on this top bullet point, but there are other impacts for this research project as well. So for the Washington State component, we're looking at Concord juice grapes, and we really want to investigate whether deficit irrigation techniques are viable in juice grapes. That's typically not done. Most Concord growers tend to over-irrigate their vines. They really pour on the water. So we're really interested if this strategy is possible. And in the Cabernet, in Washington, we use a deficit irrigation regime already. And our grower in particular uses a extreme version of that. And so instead of reducing even further from that, we're looking at increasing the amount of water we apply to see if we can bump up those yields without a reduction in fruit quality. So our objective for this portion of the project is to look at soil moisture variability, both on a time scale and spatially. So we decided to sample three times during the growing season at different physiological growth stages of the grapevine. 3 to 4 leaf is in the spring when, exactly like it sounds, 3 to 4 leaves have emerged from the shoot. Veraison, which is in the middle of our growing season, and that is the time period where the berries start to gain their color, they start to ripen and soften and accumulate sugars. And then finally, we sampled after our last irrigation period for the for the season. We only have irrigation from approximately April through October. So, and with this sampling, these time periods were chosen to look at the 3 to 4 leaf stage. Do we have a good winter refill of the soil profile? At veraison, that's when our treatments are expected to see the most differences in the soil moisture content. And then post-irrigation, can we actually refill the profile after these severe deficit irrigation regimes have been applied for most of the season? So we're determining available soil water content and characterizing those deficits when and where they occur in the profile. With our Cabernet, our goal is to increase our yield without reducing quality and characterizing the soil moisture distribution. Our treatments are listed in the table on the right. We increase the total amount of water applied by 1/3 based on the growth stage. So our first treatment is our control, our grower, our severe deficit irrigation. And then our treatment number 2, we increased by 1/3 for the entire season. Treatment 3, we increased prior to bloom and then post-veraison. And then for treatment 4, we waited until after veraison to increase. And I want to make a note here. The numbers for the total water applied are based on our 2012 season, which is the most average year that we've seen through this study. And by that I mean we matched our growing degree days to our historical averages almost exactly. So this is our sampling layout. We centered on a drip emitter and then took samples in the cardinal directions around that out to 150 centimeters. We did 100 cores per plant rep, and that's 25 cores at 4 different depths for a total of 1,200 cores per variety per sampling time. So this was a very intensive sampling method. The soils in that area were all on a Warden silt loam, and it has a field capacity of 25% and a permanent wilting point of 8%. So as a result, we were able to, with all of that data, do an inverse distance weighting model and interpolate the data for each depth, and that's what these discs are on the left-hand side of the screen. But I want to first focus on the legend and really explain why we chose to break it up that way. Our first breakpoint is that less than 0.08, and that corresponds to our permanent wilting point of the soil. So anything underneath that, that's not available to the plant, and so we're not concerned in the differences in that area. And then we have 3 breakpoints in between, and those correspond to our low, medium, and high soil water availability. And then our final breakpoint, which is greater than 0.25, that's our field capacity. And now if you take a look at the discs, in the columns we have our sampling times, and then our treatments go across in the rows. So at our 3-4 leaf stage, what we're looking at is we're looking at winter refill and early season irrigation. So we see we've got quite a bit of soil moisture available all the way down to the 80 centimeter depth. And then when you transfer from the 3-4 leaf column to veraison, you see a dramatic dry down. I mean, there's pretty much no soil moisture available. It's more or less at the permanent wilting point. And you also notice that the discs are slightly smaller. It was so dry at veraison that we were unable to take the 150 centimeter ring, and we ended up breaking quite a bit of equipment trying to do that. So we limited that to the 100 centimeter ring, and so that's why they're a little bit smaller. And that dry down is really due to that extreme deficit irrigation. We're not applying excess water, and so nothing is staying in the soil profile. And then when you look at it compared to our final irrigation, what I want to highlight with that is that treatments 2, 3, and 4 have a little bit more available soil moisture at depth than treatment 1, and that corresponds to our applied water. We increased it for the Cabernet. And as I transition to the next slide here, I want to make a note that treatment 2 at the 60 to 80 centimeter depth range, we actually do, at veraison, we actually do see some soil moisture. And when we look at that compared to our second year of sampling, we see that soil moisture again in treatment 2 at the 60 to 80 and the 40 to 60 centimeter. We also see it in treatment 1 at the 60 to 80 centimeter, but we don't see available soil moisture content in the upper levels of the profile. And that's mainly due to the concentration of the root structure of the grapevine, that they're taking up all of the moisture in those top two layers, but they don't have roots down at depth for those. So if we have a chance to apply a little bit of excess and it gets into the lower profile, it's pretty much going to stay there. So 2013, again, is very similar to 2012. But I would also like to draw your attention to compare between the final irrigation in 2012 and the 3-4 leaf of 2013. Really gives you a good idea of how much moisture we receive during the winter and how much is then available in the profile. So for our mean volumetric water content, we separated out by treatment and by sampling time. So on the left-hand side, we've got by treatment, and what I really want to highlight here is the fall, because that's where we really see our effects of our treatments. Treatments 2, 3, and 4, as you might remember, we increased the amount of water we applied. So all of those are grouped together and are statistically different from our treatment 1, which had less water applied to it. And then the volumetric water content as a distance from emitter, we see a really good stair step down in there in the spring, and that's exactly what we expected. The farther away from the emitter that you get, the less soil moisture is available. At Verasion, it's expected that they'd be fairly equal, as most things were at permanent wilting point, and that's what that red line across both graphs represents. And then in fall, we see a little bit of rewetting, and so that stair step has started to reestablish itself. In the Concords, we did it slightly differently. We're evaluating the effects of deficit irrigation on yield and quality. We also want to characterize soil moisture. But our treatments now are based on a percentage of evapotranspiration, and we actually calculated our own crop coefficient based on shaded area underneath the grapevines. And so our treatments are listed on the right-hand side here. Our grower control is about 150 to 160% on average, and then we have 185 and 70% of ET. And I want to really make note that if you're trying to compare these numbers with the Cabernet was a full season. The Concords were limiting to this to between bloom and Verasion. So the amount of water applied in this is only within that time period. Again, sampling layout just kind of remind you of what we're doing. I included on this one a picture of our Concord vineyard, and the arrow indicates one of the drip emitters. And the main reason I put this on there is that you can really see the cover crop is pretty green, so we're really expecting more soil moisture in the Concords. And that's exactly what we found. At the 3-4 leaf stage, we see a good refill over the winter. And if you move to Verasion, we see a significant dry down in treatments 2, 3, and 4, which correspond to our reduction in ET values, and then refill again. And then compare that with our 2013 season. 2013, we had a little bit more soil moisture available throughout the entire year. And then in the volumetric water content, at spring, we have a statistical difference between our treatments 1 and the rest of the treatments, and that could be due to that we applied these treatments for a year prior to this, so we may see some carryover effects in terms of soil moisture availability. And again, at Verasion, our reduced treatments are 185 and 70. Are all at permanent wilting point. So we're applying the amount of water that the plant needs, but nothing more. And then we refill at fall. And the distance from emitter, again, we get good stair-step differentiation. It's exactly what we expected for this. In summary, with the Cabernet, we see a good winter refill at the 3 to 4 leaf stage. Verasion, the uniform dryness is due to our deficit irrigation strategy. And at post-irrigation, we see a refill, so we're able to overcome that deficit in the soil moisture. And we see our treatments did make a difference at that time. And in the Concords, similar things. But at Verasion, the lack of soil moisture is due both to the deficit irrigation regime and to the uptake of soil moisture from the plants themselves. So, and then our ET treatments at final irrigation are lower than the control treatment, which is to be expected. So on a purely volumetric water content basis, we saw decreasing with increasing distance from emitter in both varieties, but that soil water content is really centered on that drip emitter and that drip line. So I'd just like to thank the funding agencies and all of those people who helped me do the intensive soil sampling.
Do we have any questions for Jason?
Yeah. What about the quality and yield?
I did not include that with this presentation. In terms of the Cabernet, our treatments increased the yields by approximately half a ton per acre in the treatments 2 and 3, and a little under 4/10 of a ton per acre in treatment 4. So a little bit of increase. With the Concords, we saw a major reduction in our first year, which is to be expected, but our 100% ET recovered within a single year and matched our grower control, and our 85% took 2 years, but it's this year's harvest was within half a ton, 6/10 of a ton of the grower control.
What is your emitter flow rate, and also what your actual, your ET, because your Concord based on the ET for your treatment, and your Cabernet is not based on the ET, right?
Cabernet is not based on ET. We just increased base, so our setup was that whenever they turned the water on, we added a second drip line that increased that total amount by 1/3. And so they were really in control of when and why they chose to water for those. The Concord ET numbers I would not be able to pull off the top of my head.
But average, like a 5 millimeter per day or 7 millimeter per day? I'm just curious.
I would have to look at my weather station data to be able to give you an accurate estimate of that. And we did not have flow rate meters installed. We did put in pressure switches to determine the timing. And I believe the flow rate for the drip emitters themselves were a 2 gallon per hour.
Is there any quality different from the Concord based on the deficit irrigation based on the ET? For example, you 150, 160 versus the 80%?
In terms of fruit quality?
Yeah.
We haven't run statistics on it. A preliminary, I do not see much of a difference, but like I said, we haven't run our statistics on it to see if there is any significant differences statistically with it. So,
all right, any more questions for Jason? If not, let's give him another round of applause.